Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life is celebrating its 30th year of ministry this year, 30 years of transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. New Life Live is dedicated to helping you in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. So glad you're with us here today. Dr. Alice Benton is in the studio.
Hello,
hi, Alice.
Steve. Hey, everybody.
Well, I didn't hear that. What was that?
I said, hello, Steve, and hello, everybody.
Chris Williams is here. Hey,
it's
Chris.
It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas.
Well, it is, and I want to encourage some folks to do something good for yourself this Christmas. Now, look, if Christmas wasn't happy and healthy last year, and now you're kind of facing the same situation, I want to encourage you, get out there, do something for somebody, go minister to somebody, make somebody else's Christmas. And I know God will bless you just with your willingness to get out of your comfort zone, serve somewhere. I mean, you know, it might be something as simple as a lot of churches, they have a lot of people on come to the Christmas services. Maybe you take care of the kids one service or something. Do something you haven't done before. Don't do the same thing if you were miserable last year at Christmas. That's my encouragement to you. Now, we've got all the calls lined up that we need, but I want to tell you before we take a call that we have a new product, brand new, been talking about a little bit here. It's called the Restoration Bible, and we want you to have a copy of this. It's an amazing resource based on the acronym RESTORE. And one of the letters is the letter S. What does that S stand for? It stands for support. And here's the thing. You think that's a simple concept, but we never get support until we humble ourselves and admit we really need support. Mm-hmm. We do. And the support is a result of surrendering our mechanisms that we've chosen that haven't worked, surrendering our thoughts, our expectations, and trying to follow God's plan. So if you are looking for a path and a process, you know Life Recovery in 12 Steps has been such an amazing resource, but there's so many more people who don't want to be part of 12 Steps of Recovery. I understand that. Here's your path. Here's your process. Here's your plan. You call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you would like a copy of the Restoration Bible. We will get it to you. And that number again, 1-800-NEWLIFE. Right now, let's go to Anthony from Tucson, Arizona. Anthony, how are you? What's going on today?
Hello. How are you doing?
Good.
Good.
What's happening?
Yeah, I called. I'm sorry?
I was just asking, what's happening in your life?
Well, I called about 2.5 months ago, Steve, and I spoke with you, Dr. David Stoop, and I believe it was Dr. Jill Hubbard. My wife had been having an affair, and it basically rocked the foundation of our family. But we are now in Christian counseling with a good New Life counselor who's helping us a lot. The only thing that I'm doing, I guess, normally, I guess, as marriage counseling, you would do it together, which we are on some cases, but a lot of the times we're doing it independently. And the reason we're doing it independently is because my wife is, I heard that Milan Jurkovic and his wife speaking on another talk show about their book, And I realized that my wife was an avoider. She's an extreme avoider. She doesn't like to deal with things at all.
Okay. Well, hold on. We got to go to a break. We'll try to give you some help right after this. Hi, this is Steve Arterburn from New Life Live. We have something pretty exciting coming up, and it's in March. It is a trip to Israel. Our trips are very special, and the teaching is rich. The experience is priceless. And we're also going to go to Rome in addition to it. It's the 16th through the 26th.
When I went to Israel, my whole view of the Bible absolutely changed. I had a reference point to visualize.
Yeah. We're going
to
go where David hid from Saul, Jericho, the tunnels under the Western Wall, and the Temple Steps, the Garden of Gethsemane, Masada, the Dead Sea, Mount of Olives, the Garden Tomb, Caiaphas' house, and more.
For me now, when I open up the Bible, it just becomes alive for me because I've been there.
You will not be disappointed in Israel. It is a special, rich, rich time. If you want more information on Israel, I hope you'll look at it on our website, newlife.com.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here, Alice Benton, Chris Williams, talking with Anthony. And Anthony, you were saying that you did something based on Mylon and Kay's book, How We Love, or hearing them speak. And what was that that you're doing?
Well, my wife is an extreme avoider, so when I found out that she was having an affair, we went to this one counselor. The counselor basically, she thought that she was being put on the spot because she was. They were asking her questions to open up about what took place in the affair. We didn't go back out to the third visit, so I found another counselor who was also a New Life counselor. There's actually a history with that counselor from years back. And long story short, she feels very comfortable with her. I told her the situation where I can't get my wife to open up, and I feel that she'll open up in counseling alone, so if we can do sessions together and independently. And sure enough, it's been working for my wife because she actually comes back from the counseling sessions and tells me what's going on.
So how can we help you, though?
Well, the reason I'm calling is because things have changed. Her actions are different. She quit the job where this affair took place. I'm still scared. I still don't trust her. She's home now. But I just want to make sure that I'm covering all my bases and I'm doing the right thing. We're doing the counseling. There's times when I think about this person, this man, and I bring it up and I get very angry. These thoughts come in my mind at different times. And
do you get angry and you tell her about your anger? Is that what's happening?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Let me before I turn this over to Alice. I want to make a point before I forget it, and I want to hear your question. But there's a book called Surviving an Affair, and this was a very important book for me when I was trying to survive, having been on the other side of that. And here's what it says: of course, you're going to be angry. You're entitled to anger, but you can't, you've got to find a way to express that to somebody else other than your spouse, or you're not going to have a chance for healing and restoration to take place. It'll just all be about your anger. So that's why you've got to get some counseling separate from
that's
them.
What my counselor said, and I am seeing her independently, and she also told me to take that to, I'm part of a men's Bible group. She said, take those frustrations to them.
How can we help you today? What's the purpose of your call?
I just want to make sure I'm doing the I guess I'm just taking questions as far as if I'm doing the right thing, if there's anything else I should do. I just ordered a book called Anatomy of an Affair. I don't know if it's the right book or not, but I saw it online, so I ordered it. And I just want to make sure that I'm on the right track. I do see my wife be different.
Good. Yeah, and you want to encourage that. Alice, what do you think? Do you think he's on the right track?
Anthony, I think you're doing so many things well and right, and we're just delighted to hear that your wife is making changes. Now, as you pointed out, she's an avoider. I just want to explain that a little bit. An avoider would be an attachment style. We all have an attachment style, and it's a way that we relate or avoid relating to other people in our lives. And an avoider would tend to sidestep some of the more difficult issues, try to avoid conflict, not have some of those tough conversations, maybe trying to keep the peace versus making the peace. And part of that is actually my answer to you as well, Anthony, of are you doing all you can do? Because a pitfall when that we can land in when we are the victim of infidelity, as you are, is that all the blame can be focused on the person that was unfaithful. And of course, she's completely responsible for her choice. Something I do in couples therapy is I look at how both spouses are, of course, imperfect. So we both have added to some deterioration in the relationship. Doesn't make you responsible for the affair. But what can be so helpful in your healing process is continuing to work on your own imperfections, identifying your attachment style, and so that when you figure out the ways you've been relating to your wife that may have added to problems in your marriage, that's where your power is, because you can do something different about you.
Yeah. And you know, I also encourage people, and of course I have a bias because, you know, I was the one that was betrayed. And here's the thing you also don't want to do. You don't want to take on more shame, guilt, or responsibility for the affair. Right. You didn't cause the affair. But you know what? A lot of people have a lot more problems, and their wife would never think of an affair, or the response would be totally different. So you don't want to pile onto yourself saying, yeah, I'm the one that caused this horrible thing where she had to make a choice, affair or no affair. There are other people that would never even come to that point. And so you take responsibility for the problems in the marriage that were your responsibility, and realize that in healthy restoration, you won't take on more shame than you need to or responsibility, and you won't take on less.
Yeah, and
Chris, you have a thought?
Yeah, I do. Anthony, your wife avoids because she doesn't feel safe. And so and it may not be all your responsibility. It could be her history, but I want you to see that there might be something unsafe in you that she doesn't feel comfortable with. That's why she opens up in therapy, because she feels safe there. And so what you want to work on is becoming a safer person. This is going to sound maybe ridiculous, but there may be a gift in the affair for you. And that gift is that you can now become a better husband than she ever imagined, as she can now become a better wife than you ever imagined her to be. Because it forces you into that deeper work. So as Alice said, I want you to identify your attachment style. You know, are you maybe a vacillator, maybe a pleaser, I don't know, whatever that is. And then you hyper-focus on your growth areas for your attachment style, and that's what I want you to do next.
All right. I hope that's helpful to you. I'm going to send you this Restoration Bible, brand new Bible. It's going to help you on a path to restoration. That's what you guys want. And oh my goodness, get the copy of that book, How to Survive or Surviving an Affair. It really, really will be helpful to you. All right, let's go to, how about we talk with Cindy, Washington, D.C., WAVA. Hi, Cindy.
Hi, how are you?
Great, how are you doing?
Hello. Great,
hi, Cindy.
Thanks for taking my call. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Okay. I'm calling because I need to discern or figure out boundaries for my older son that will be evicted from my home. He was in my basement. He's been struggling with addiction for at least 8 to 10 years, and over the last 6 months, it's become more extreme. So, and I'm just concerned about the safety of the household and his sense of judgment. And just based on, you know, not secured in the people that he now associates with. So he'll be leaving my house through the court order. I had to go to that extreme in January. But my question is, to, and as the Bible says, you know, give grace as you are given grace. To what extent or how do I extend myself to him, or do I extend myself to him after he leaves the house in the tough love process? Because it is hard for me.
Have you required anything? Have you required him to get help and he says, I'm not going to get help,
yes,
or what?
Yes, absolutely. He'll say, when he's under the influence, he'll admit, he'll say, yes, I need help. But when he's sober, he declines it. He'll say, no, I don't need help. I can work this out myself. And that was the stipulation of him, you know, me removing him from the house because he refused to get help.
Okay. What do you think, Chris?
Yeah, I'll just say this. Addiction is a very strange thing because what we assume to be grace is actually ungraceful. It is ungraceful to do anything whatsoever that supports his ability to keep his addiction going. That is ungraceful. Does that make sense?
Okay.
The graceful thing, the most graceful thing you can do is set boundaries around his dangerous behavior and his addiction. In addition to that, it's that within the resources that you have, not what you don't have, but in the resources that you have, I will do anything to support you in your healing and recovery from your addiction.
Okay.
But I will do nothing that supports you in this life-threatening addiction. I won't support the cancer in your heart called addiction.
Okay.
And Cindy, the Bible gives clear permission for us, after we have attempted to help a person, to point out where their sinful, toxic behavior is, and they refuse our help. In the book of Matthew, it lays this out very clearly, that we are then to separate ourselves from that person, if necessary, to protect ourselves. And so often, it's the loss of a loved one, the loss of that comfort that they had living in your home, that can be the wake-up call that an addict needs. Okay. I've worked with so many addicts who have said, if my family didn't leave me in that jail cell overnight without getting me out early, I would not have quit using. So as tough as it is to allow our loved ones to suffer, the suffering is what can turn everything around. I hope you have peer support in this, because if you're alone in setting these boundaries with your son and he comes crawling back to you crying or even yelling angry, it is really hard to stick to the boundaries. It's almost impossible to do alone.
Well, I have the support of my local church, so
good.
Yes.
Okay, well, I do think that it's always great, as somebody is leaving that situation, that they hear from you, hey, I'm free this weekend, Thursday night, Friday, Saturday, to attend a speaker meeting with you. Love to take you if you want to. So the door is always open to healthy things. It's always shut to enabling and being part of the problem. You don't want to do that, and I'm glad you've made this bold move. Here's the thing that you got to ask yourself. If he's not going to change at age 34, when in the world is he ever going to change? 34 years old.
Right.
See?
Yeah.
So we know of many people who have been through many treatments, and it was the 15th time or the 16th time. We never give up. But allowing him to continue to use and have free food and support and a place to live doesn't help, hasn't helped. Everything is still the change, is still the same, except he's getting older and older and older. So you made a bold move.
Yeah.
Appreciate you doing it.
Steve.
Glad you did. Yeah.
This makes me think about parental guilt as well. And Cindy, I don't know if this applies to you, but I have seen and worked with so many parents who think they're doing the best to love their children, but as Chris pointed out, it turns into enabling. And it can be fueled by guilt we have as parents, maybe for the loss of their father or for the imperfections in us as their mother. And that guilt can keep us stuck. So please look into that as well, Cindy. See if that's fueling the desire to love him, but keeping you two both stuck that way.
Well, it's so true. It's so common. And what you end up, that old phrase of adding insult to injury, is kind of what it does. It doesn't help anything. So we want to do the right thing, responding to the need versus reacting and trying to make something right. It doesn't do it. Very, very good insight there. All right. So I'm going to send you a copy of Take Your Life Back. I hope you'll read it. I think it's a great key to separate yourself from him. And I also hope and pray that you'll get him to go to a speaker meeting and you guys can gain some insight there together. Robert from Denver, Colorado, Sirius XM Satellite Radio. How you doing, Robert? What's going on?
I'm doing okay, I think.
Doing okay?
Yeah. I have a sex offense from 25 years ago.
I'm so sorry.
I've been thrown out of churches for it. It's never happened one time, it never happened again. I have a beautiful walk with God. He takes care of me every day. I joined a church, and I was there about 2 years, and I've been a musician my whole life. I sang or write songs. I traveled in a gospel singing group. And I've been molested so many times through my life when I was a kid, I can't even count them all. And I know that's part of what my loss was.
Okay, hold on. I've got to go to a break. I'm sorry to cut you off here. I want to hear all about this right after this. You're listening to New Life Live.
My wife had found me out through my past and my sexual addiction since I was a small child. It really gave me the opportunity to start digging into my past, start digging into my childhood, figure out what was causing me to feel the way I was feeling. Every Man's Battle will really give you that opportunity because all the guys there in that room are there for the exact same reason you're there. I don't want to be the reason that my kids are going to counseling. I don't want to be the reason that they begin to struggle with the same issues that I'm struggling with, and I've got to put an end to this. Yes, you can be different. God does love you. You can be forgiven for this, and there's a way out of this. But you have to acknowledge that you have to change. Yeah, that there's a problem.
If you're struggling, call us. There are people on the other end of the line who want to hear from you, who want to help you. We don't want you to hand down something to another generation that just looks like pain and destruction. You can hand down redemption. But you got to take that first step. Just give us a call. It's 1-800-639-5433. It's 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Last year after Every Man's Battle, I was so moved by the transformation that I saw, not only in myself, but in the guys in our small group and the other people that were there and the stories that I heard, that I decided to go ahead and join Club New Life as a contributor to that.
You can help New Life Live stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
As you're doing God's work here, you're restoring marriages, you're giving people hope. It's just been such a blessing to me, and I just wanted to encourage you all. When you see something good that God's doing, just jump on that and help support that.
Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433.
Give your support to them if you can, and just help them do what God's doing here in the world.
Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. We are talking with Robert. So, Robert, what we've heard so far is that something happened 25 years ago. You have a great walk with the Lord, and churches are not... I'm not believing you that it happened a long time ago, hasn't happened since. Is that right?
Well, it's not even as much as the last one, and like I said, this has happened multiple times. I was going to be an evangelist years after this happened, and I was told, don't bother because you'll never make it. But the last church I went to kind of stunned me because I've been going there a couple of years. And like I said, I wanted to be in the choir, so I signed up for the choir, but I thought I should tell the pastor about my past just in case there was an issue. And he basically said the insurance company wouldn't let me be anywhere near the stage because they broadcast live over TV stations and stuff, and somebody might recognize me, and boy, that'd be just a horrible thing. But they did have room on the groundskeeping deal to mow the lawn. if I want to serve.
Well, are you
calling? That's not the only time a church has done that.
Yeah. So is there a question for us or some way we could help you? Because it's just got to be a rough row to be in.
I just don't know what to do.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
I don't know whether to go find another church. I don't know. I don't know.
Well, Chris, you want to help him here?
Robert, it really does break my heart. I really do understand kind of both sides of the issue, the liabilities of sexual offenders on the public or organizational side. But I actually have worked with plenty of people who have made huge, huge errors in their life, and as a result will be registering for the rest of their lives. This is a scarlet A that just never goes away. But what I want to tell you is that, at least from the eyes of Jesus, and I know that you know this, but just to remind it today, that is an incident that happened to you. It's not who you are. There may be areas that you can't serve, but there's other areas that you can serve. And the other aspect is I don't know that what healing that you have engaged in from your own childhood pain and sexual abuse that you experienced, but I want you to know that as you go through that, you are among millions of men who were boys abused. And there's so many of us out there walking, and we need other men like you in your healing to show us the way to healing. There is an evangelist inside of you, and it's that Jesus restores the brokenhearted. He repairs the broken incidences and sexual horrors that we had to go through as children. And so I want you to continue to engage in your healing. I would say, if you want to sing in a choir at a church, I think that's a phenomenal ministry, a great thing. Do it with one that doesn't have a TV program. You know, there's many options out there for that.
Somebody said, just go below the radar, out, and so nobody knows you're there. So.
Jesus was born into obscurity. He lived most of his life in obscurity. And God, and obviously as Jesus, he changed the world. You don't need to be a public figure to be a part of God's amazing work here.
But Robert, we also don't want you to hide out. Oh, we hear the fresh pain, even if it's decades old, we hear it in your voice. And all of us are tempted in our pain to pull away, to hide, to isolate. You have had such courageous humility that you have risked confessing to these pastors what you did. God is honoring that confession, even though it doesn't feel like it yet, you can't see it yet. But oh, Robert, God so often uses our worst pain as our greatest purpose, our greatest ministry. And because you keep offering that to him, ask him for guidance in where he wants you to use this passion. But you may also need to process more of the pain before God has that position open for you. Please let us hook you up with a counselor so we can walk you through that pain so that you can become prepared, and God will. He will use you, and he will prepare you for whatever he has for you.
And I think some folks listening, you know, you may be on the verge, you may be tempted to do something. And you need to get help now, because in this day and age, whatever you do, it stays with you. I mean, not just sexual offense, but I mean, we've seen in the court system, we've seen so many instances of, and in our in the process of people, you know, going before like Supreme Court and all that, everything that happens is brought up, and there are just certain things that don't go away. And so do something before the temptation takes hold. I was talking to a man who didn't know whether or not to tell his children his wife had been unfaithful. The wife was lying to him. And I said to the children, and I said, maybe the best thing to do, you want to be a source of truth. You don't go into all the horrible stuff over the affair, but you do. You let them know, the tragedy was when she was struggling. She didn't call me or a friend or get into counseling or get help at the moment of temptation. You know, that's where Satan gets the victory, is if he can isolate us, separate us out, and then he does the destructive thing. Get help. Call us. Let us help you. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We're going to take a break, come back for more of New Life Live. So glad you're with us today. We're just grateful that we get to be with you, and we're grateful that you chose us today on New Life. We'll be back.
For most of my life, I've been dealing with an opiate addiction.
Why is opioid addiction quickly becoming one of our nation's biggest killers? Maybe it's because it isn't only those who are addicted who are in denial.
We did what I see so many parents do, is it can't be an addiction. There's something medically wrong.
It's impossible to solve a problem when you don't know what you're up against, and families will try to find any explanation except the one that will put them on the right path.
Alcoholism and drug addiction is a family disease. It doesn't affect just the individual.
If someone you love is abusing painkillers, know what you're up against. It's time to admit it's addiction and seek treatment. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We have Christ-centered partner treatment centers around the country. Call 1-800-639-5433 or visit us online at newlife.com.
We just made a decision. We will do whatever it takes.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, this is Steve Arterburn, and for 30 years, New Life has been the most trusted name in Christian counseling.
I'm an addict, and I'm trying to get God in my life again. You seem to be able to get to the crux of a problem quickly.
Our Christ-centered treatment programs can help you break free to embrace all that God has for you and your family.
I just want to thank you guys for bringing me to a relationship with Jesus.
There really is help for marital problems, depression, addictions, panic attacks, and feelings of hopelessness.
I came back with so many tools to help me prepare myself to fight this struggle and this battle that I have every day.
You can start living again today, living the life God intended for you. Help is available at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
They did care, and they did follow up very lovingly, and it made all the difference in my life.
Call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Someone who cares is waiting at the other end of the phone. God can open the door to a better tomorrow right now. Just call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. 1-800-639-5433.
Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here, and I'm going to send Robert a copy of the Restoration Bible. It is an amazing tool, resource for restoration and healing. And if you need a resource to help you, it's a great one. And you call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. In the studios, Larry Sonnenberg. Larry, talk to us. How
hey,
you doing?
Doing good, thanks. You know, I just was thinking, it's December 21st, and that is typically called the winter solstice, the shortest day of the year for light, the number of hours mm-hmm. of light.
So well, I was just thinking about that this morning.
Yeah, I'm sure you were.
I'm kidding.
Yeah. And so every day going forward, the daylight's going to be a little bit longer, just by a few minutes. And at New Life, we got about 10 days before the year is done. And these are a critical 10 days where we need your support. And you're going to make the light a little longer for us, a little lighter. We've made the load a little lighter each day. But I know what happens with deadlines and urgency, because on the 31st of December, I can guarantee you, I wish it wasn't this way, but it is, and I'll take it. It will be the largest donation day that we have during the entire mm-hmm. year. But every day before that is a little bit less. And I'm looking for support. You know, this ministry is, there's nothing like what happens at New Life. There just isn't. And we don't want to make it any less than it is. Matter of fact, we want to expand it. We'd love to be on more radio stations, get more advertising done, to get into areas where people don't even know who we are, and make this ministry something that it isn't to people that don't know about us.
Well, and Larry, just to carry out that idea that and the 25th was actually chosen from a Celtic tradition that says it was the first day that they were able to tell that the light was growing.
Yeah.
Listen, we walk into life's most darkest moments We're not afraid because we got Jesus.
Right.
And we're here to bring the Jesus light into life's most darkest places. And we just need support to be able to do that.
Yeah. And so...
So, and when people support us, they don't get a ministry. Oops. Live life. It's about transformation.
It is about transformation. But will you call us at 800 New Life and make a gift? Will you go online, make a gift if you can't call us? Would you consider there's still 10 days left? If your stock that you've held for 2 or 3 or 5 years, well, anything over a year has appreciated and is worth a whole lot more than you ever expected it to be, and you're the type of person that's an investor and worried about capital gains taxes, I know that's not all of you, but there are some of you that are in that category. You can donate that stock directly to New Life. Don't cash it in. Give the stock to New Life. And it will be a way that you won't have to pay capital gains tax, and you can take a tax deduction for the amount of your gift, which would be the amount of the value of that stock on that day.
And can I just say this? Right now, there is a guy struggling through a sexual addiction through this Christmas season, and it has taken him out. Mm-hmm. God is preparing him right now in 2019 to be touched by New Life Ministries.
I believe that.
We want to be here to help him.
Yeah.
I know that that story is out there. Help us help that guy who is going to, his Christmas in 2019 is going to be so much radically different and redemptive than the Christmas in 2018.
And if we weren't here, I just don't know. All these calls you've been taking, I don't know what they would do if New Life wasn't here. I'm sure they'd get find some help somewhere, but it wouldn't be the quality the same. And so please keep us up. Keep us going.
They wouldn't hear from Alice. Come on. Let's do this.
Keep Alice on the air.
Yeah, that's our campaign. Alice on the air.
It's the Keep Alice on the Air campaign. And,
10 days to do it.
Please help.
Well, you know, we joke about it, but Larry was just talking about how when he calls folks and asks for support or asks how we could pray, that they consistently are not mentioning you and me, Chris. They're mentioning Alice.
Listen, I get it. I get it. That's right. That's right.
And I know you and I will be in group therapy tonight. But we're grateful.
We're still scheduled for that 5 p.m. call, right?
Yeah. But we are grateful that they do love Alice.
There's something about the female voice on radio that when people are hurting, because I remember, Steve, some years ago, it was probably 10 years ago or more, we did a survey and asked people who they like to hear from on radio. And Dr. Jill was the top person.
Right. And we were able to adjust our egos and be able to be grateful that we had that voice, just like we're grateful for Alice's voice today. And so help us, if you possibly can, to keep voices of wisdom, whether they're male or they're female, voices of wisdom on the air. That's what we want to do.
Last thought before I exit out of here is if you can join Club New Life as a way to give, please do that. Call and just ask what that is if you don't know. We won't take time right now, but it's a real important way, and it's helping New Life in a big way. So thank you.
It sure is. It sure is. All right. It's 1-800-NEW-LIFE or newlife.com, and we are so grateful whenever you can help. We are thrilled and hope and pray that you'll tell somebody else about the program. If they're hurting, we want to be there for them too. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. All right, let's go to, how about we talk with Debbie, Anchorage, Alaska. We love getting to do this program and reach all the way up to Anchorage, Alaska. Hi there, how you doing? What's going on?
Hi. Well, I have a really important question, and it's regarding my two sons. One's 18 and 13, and they are at war with one another.
What about?
And this is regarding the older one's, what has become his girlfriend, and my younger one can't stand her, and she's gone away to college,
He's coming back in a couple of days, and you know, my older one is his first year of college as well. And it erupted again last night, and I just don't know how to deal with it. The younger one.
Well, why can't he stand her? What doesn't he like about her?
He's really the voice of morality, really. The older one got involved sexually with her, and it's just my younger one just hates her, wants her to go away. Mm-hmm. As a result, and my older one is very much a kind of an overachiever, but very much a pleaser. And
he is torn.
He cannot say no to her.
Well, yes, he can.
Yes, he can, yeah.
And she's not the evil witch of the West that came in and took over your son's character. I think I'll let Alice jump on this, but I think it would be healthy to let the little one know his big brother had something to do with what's happened here.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, we know that. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And her family kind of just took him in and, you know, built him up and made this relationship between the two of them so important. And the mother, who is a counselor herself, encouraged them all along from the very beginning. And
are you saying that another family is able to have greater influence on your son than you have had on your son? You know, I would be very hurt over that. That would be painful.
Yeah.
But
I hear a lot of
blame for everybody other than the son taking responsibility for what's happened here and trying to help him.
Yeah.
Alice, go ahead. I'm sorry, I jumped back in there.
Well, I was wondering, Steve, Debbie, is the boy's father in the picture, and what is he doing about all this?
There you go. That's real key. And I've always said that. No, he has not been involved much since our divorce. And as a result, my older one has a difficulty in making friends.
And Debbie, is their father, is he with another woman now?
Yes. He married his divorce attorney and is with them and her kids.
Okay, and how long ago did that happen?
6 years ago.
Okay. We're coming to the commercial break, but we'll come back with some ideas and some a path to take through this.
All right. You're listening to New Life Live. We want to help. We'll be back after this. Hi, Steve Arterburn here. We've got a brand new workshop coming up. It's January the 25th, and we're going to do it in Washington, D.C. It's a New Life weekend. We're calling it Finding Freedom. And I don't know where you're stuck, but you can be free. We're going to talk about forgiveness and codependency. We're going to understand that family of origin, the unhealthy reactions to it. We're going to talk about the cycle of shame and surrender and developing the plan that moves us forward. And it'll include the things that help you find that path to getting your life on track and staying on track. There'll be 8 teaching sessions, 6 small group sessions, and you can find out about it and sign up for it at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Call us, talk to us if you want to be free. Finding Freedom, January the 25th, great way to start the year. You call us, 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-NEWLIFE.
Every time we try to talk, it just turns into a fight. I am so tired of arguing.
I don't understand. God, why did you take him from me?
I don't want my kids to think of me as the angry dad. Why can't I control my temper?
husband. How did we become this distant? I hate looking in the mirror. No matter what I try, nothing seems to work.
I just feel like my world is spinning out of control.
I feel so broken. Could God ever heal me?
Is it ever going to get better?
I feel like I'm drowning.
When will I learn to just breathe again?
It doesn't have to be this way. 48 hours can change your life. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We are back. Steve Arterburn here, and we're talking with Debbie from Anchorage, and you know, Debbie, I've been trying to make that point that he's got to accept responsibility. I was probably a little bit too tough there because I feel for you, and you're struggling there, and the dad hasn't been helpful. But my goal is that everybody would see that your son, he's got to take responsibility and quote unquote buck up and do the right thing and not let anybody be blamed. But anyway, I want to turn over to Alice. I just felt like I wanted you to know I love you, I care about you, and I really want you to not feel responsible for the failures of this boy. Alice, your thoughts?
Well, Debbie, over the break, we were talking amongst ourselves and wondering what your youngest has gone through with all these changes and perhaps the very painful loss of his dad. And I think Chris had some great insight into that.
Yeah, you know, as I was saying to you, Alice, it reminds me actually of my own home growing up. Some of the details are different. But when us boys lose a father, we're sitting with all of this anger and frustration and sadness, and we don't know what to do with it. You know, your older son is taking that and attaching to his girlfriend. He's finding his new he's finding comfort for an admiration that he's probably missing out on. And what he probably needs a lot more of is truth. Your younger son sees his older brother going away, finding this other family. That's another huge loss for him. Mm-hmm. So he's using morality as a way to try to control. But really what it is it's giving that self-righteousness is giving his anger expression. So what he needs is grace. And so if there's a way to talk about truth, and the truth isn't just the behavior, the truth is, man, what have we gone through and how has it impacted us? How has it affected our hearts? And then grace is that there, in the midst of the pain, in the midst of the frustration, in the midst of the disappointment, how is God's love and grace continuing to work in and through our lives? How is God going to redeem our family story and keep us together? But locked in denial that your older son is in, or locked in just angry frustration that your younger brother is in, or your younger son is in, it's just keeping it going, you know?
Debbie, there are, I think, three conversations that you could and need to have with your boys to help them through this. And one is taking what Chris said and acknowledging to the boys, isn't it so hard that Dad left the way he did and that now he started a new family? And I think because of the timing of the year, you could even add into it. And Christmas has been different since that happened.
Yeah.
Boys, how you doing with Dad not being in the house with us and the fact that
good.
He's married? And the point would just be to hear them out. It wouldn't be to defend his actions. And it's not to smear Dad either.
Or to fix their feelings.
It's just to hear.
That's good. To
invite them to express how they're feeling. The second conversation may be channeling what your 13-year-old is worried about because he's got a good concern. There are some morality issues here. But showing him the right way to do this, which could be telling your 18-year-old, I love you, and your brother and I are worried about you and the choices that you're making with your girlfriend, because we know that's not good for you and it doesn't follow our faith. The final one would be letting your 18-year-old know, if you decide to continue on in sexual activity with your girlfriend, there are some resources I'm going to have to limit as your mom, because I cannot enable that going on as long as you're under my roof. And so, Debbie, you may have to make some tough choices, too, of what resources would you limit if he decides, oh, he's going at this, and it doesn't matter to him what your rules are.
I think that's good.
And I would just add one more thing on that, is that, Debbie, being a single mom is really, really tough.
Oh, yeah.
Seeing your husband end up with his divorce attorney, I can't imagine that. Mm. I think it's okay, and in fact good, to let your sons know that it's been hard on you. You can hold on to hope. You can hold on to belief. But also that in the midst of it, that's been hard on you. And that becomes a shared experience among the family, that, again, grace gets into that shared experience and leads you forward to greater healing and a strengthening of bond between each other.
And to be able to identify the fact that your oldest son has kind of latched on to this other family and has distanced himself from this family, that feels very, very familiar and hurtful. Mm-hmm. You don't want another person bailing out on the family over a sexual relationship. And so no wonder this 13-year-old feels it all over again. It's kind of like father, like oldest son. And so you want to point out to the oldest, hey, no wonder your 13-year-old brother, we miss you. We want you part of us. And maybe we've overreacted. I don't know. Maybe we're not inviting her as much to be comfortable here as you're comfortable there. And we've got to take a look at that, and maybe we can make some changes where she feels comfortable being over here. It's a tough, tough situation. I'm going to send you How We Love Our Kids. I think there's something good in there for you. I think you'll like it. Guys, it's so, so hard. When you see the aftermath of divorce,
yeah,
makes me grateful that we have our marriage workshop. It's coming up February 15th, and we take couples that hate each other, that don't want any part of each other, and we help them find a way back to each other. And it's a great, great joy to get to do that. I want to encourage anybody, if you're struggling, do what you can while you still can to save that marriage, rather than to go through what every family goes through with divorce. When you hear stories like this, you can see why God hates divorce so much. We want to help you, and we can do it there. Some of you are struggling with your own obsessions, compulsions. You're stuck in a certain area. You need some help. And we put together the Finding Freedom Weekend, and I'm telling you, whether it's weight or shame, addiction, compulsions, obsession, we're going to help you. And you got to come and be part of this healing community that's going to take place, and that's 25th of January. Every month we do Every Man's Battle, and restoration begins and healing begins. It is powerful, and that's in January. We do it every single month. So please call us if we can help you with a workshop. You may not need a workshop. How about a counselor? Let us find a Christian counselor for you to connect with that can be the beginning of a whole new world of hope, help, and healing. When life is difficult and you struggle, you've got somebody there. When you've got a great, great Christian counselor who wants to serve God and feels like their gift is that one-on-one thing, and they've trained and studied, and they want to use that gift to restore whatever it is that's broken in your family. But you have to call us, and please don't be afraid. There's no shame in reaching out. It's a great thing when you finally humble down and say, okay, God, step in here and do what we can't do. Willingness and an exercise of faith. That's where it begins. It's the end of the year. We've got about 9-10 days. If you can help us help others, would you call us right now at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. 1-800-NEWLIFE. That's the number. Please do. God bless you. Hope this is going to be a great Christmas for you. Reach out to somebody. We don't want you to be miserable. If you need help, 1-800-NEW-LIFE, or if you can help
Thanks
us.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again on Monday for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.